Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Please share far and wide. Make sure you follow us. We got to get the word out. We still have a lot of people to wake up because we have to set the path for Donald Trump. He needs our follow-up on our mandate from November 5th, and I don't think it's happening. I think we're sitting back and enjoying the show. But that show's only going to go so far as we take it. So please do your part. We are brought to you by three harmful foods. No, we're not going to give you the foods. Let me explain. There's never been a time in medical history where we've had so many breakthroughs, but we've got record problems with health, overweight, the obesity part of it. Everything seems to be going wrong with our foods. And wait till you hear this. There are these foods that masquerade as healthy, and they're not. In fact, our friendly nations, our first world nations, are banning this stuff, but it's still legal in the U.S. Enter Robert Kennedy and Dr. Amy Lee, a world-renowned, board-certified expert nutritionist. And she said, if we just knew what foods to avoid, we could start to reverse our health. The digestive issues, the skin issues, and all the rest, that could be reversed easily if we just knew what to do. And she said, I'm tired of the deceit. She went out and made a video that's going viral. And you can see it at threeharmfulfoods.com/Dave. That's the number three, harmfulfoods.com/Dave. Now, if you see this on our social media, all you got to do is click that link in the description box. Okay, threeharmfulfoods.com/Dave. Take advantage, turn your health around. In a previous segment yesterday, I said we were going to come back with this. And we talked about human Ebola virus species and compositions. And you're saying, what is that, Dave? That's kind of a weird title. Well, let me back away and I'll explain what the title means in just a minute. But the problem is we had reported there is now an Ebola breakout. It's spreading in Africa. Surprise, surprise. And I said, this is by design. This is the kill shot. It wasn't COVID, even though, USAID, Eco Alliance, the develop, it was all to test compliance and to establish the principle of medical martial law. Lockdowns, close the schools, close the businesses. Oh, but we'll keep our friends open with the big box store owners like Costco and Walmart. Yeah, exactly. So much for the virus doesn't spread in a box store, but we got to shut every other business down. Why did we buy this logic? Why didn't we just stand up and say, hey, you know where to go and what to do when you get there? Well, I told you yesterday in a previous segment, I had previously discovered this. This is not obscure. You can copy the patent number I'm about to give you, and you can absolutely see it here. Human Ebola virus species and compositions, CA2741523A1. That's the publication number for a U.S. patent. The CDC has profit motive to facilitate the spread of Ebola. They're going to make money on it. But whoa, wait a minute. Asking the question right here, why would a government organization claim to have invented this infectious disease and then claim a monopoly over its exploitation for commercial use? It's clear that the CDC plans to claim royalties on Ebola vaccines. This certainly increases the likelihood the vaccines will become mandatory, thus increasing the profit potential for patent holders. But I want you just to look at the patent here. I'm going to read to you here. If you're listening to this on audio, I'll give you the applicable numbers and you can write them down. Application number, CA2741523. PCT number, PCT-US2009. Dash 06 2079. Publication date April 29th, 2010, filing date of the patent for Ebola, October 26, 2009. The priority date was October 24, 2008. You have the inventors right here. Jonathan S. Towner, Stuart T. Nickel, James A. Comer, Thomas G. Kosciuszko, Pierre E. Rollin. You see it right there. Export citation came from BibTeX, EndNote, and RefMan. This is absolutely amazing here, but let me go through. Let me go through. I got more. Clearly, Ebola is man-made, and this patent proves the contention. Oh, but wait a minute. I have to explain a point of law. I mentioned this briefly yesterday. I've covered it in the past, and I still think people are largely unaware, so I think it bears repeating. You can't patent something in nature unless you modify it by at least 31%. If it's 69% of its original composition, you can patent it. Okay, that means that the CDC has weaponized Ebola, and they've crossed that 30% threshold as required by patent law. Why would they weaponize Ebola? Well, let me just go back in what we just learned. USAID, Eco Alliance, Wuhan Lab. Do I need to go any further? This is a pattern with these people. Now, CDC is traded on Dun & Bradstreet. They have a government mandate to operate, but they are not the government. Exactly. Are you getting it? The Federal Reserve is neither federal nor does it have reserves. People think it's part of the government. It is not. It's an independent, privately owned agency that has a mandate going back to 1913 in the Federal Reserve Act. Could easily be done away with because it's not part of the government. But unfortunately, I don't think Doge comes in and can handle that. Doge needs to come here and pull these files. Okay, now let's go down here. Said I clearly now, the patent proves the contention that it's weaponized. I think we've established that. Why does the CDC need to own Ebola? Perhaps we should ask Bill Gates why he donated back in 2018 to the UN and CDC in the name of fighting Ebola. The CDC has partners in the fight against Ebola, namely CRUSEL, the National Institute of Health, and the U.S. Army Research Infectious Diseases, USA AMRED, right? And of course, Bill and the Melinda Gates Foundation. Okay, now, this is where it gets really interesting. You notice CRUSEL right here. In a later publication, I'm going to come at you and I'm going to talk to you about there already has been a vaccine developed, but it preceded the patent date. The start of the research was 2006. It was completed in 2008. It preceded the patent date and may not fall under the royalties. And so they had to scrub this vaccine. I'm going to go through and show you this later. So now they're acting like they're inventing a whole new thing. I think they're just reconstituting what they've already done. And this is the beginning of what will be mandatory vaccines. Why would the CDC, let's just step back for a second and ask a final question. Why would the CDC have to own a patent on Ebola? Why? Why would they go to the trouble? What do they know that we do not know and should know? This is called getting your hand caught in the cookie jar, but I don't know how much better proof I can give you than the patent numbers, the dates, the inventors, and the whole nine yards, and explaining patent law to you about the 30% threshold from its original form. I don't know how else to make it any more clear, but a lot of people just like get this cognitive dissonance block. This is such a departure from their worldview that they can't comprehend this, even when they just were presented with the patent number and so forth. It's just baffling to me that people want to just be mired in such ignorance. We should be screaming this across the nation And what concerns me is this: why isn't President Trump stepping forward with this? If little Dave Hodges can find this, and you can backtrack this, which you can, then should we be screaming at the top of our lungs? Should anyone own a patent on a weaponized virus? Whoa, wait a minute. We already did. It was called Eco Alliance. Anthony Fauci, the Wuhan lab. When are we going to learn that the elite are setting up for massive depopulation with a kill shot? Is there any other conclusion that can be formed? But just in case you're not convinced, we have more. Make sure you sign up for our TV show, the Common Sense Show.tv. Expert guests, great witnesses of all types are hiding in plain sight, called HIPS, repressed history, held back technology, mysteries of the mind, kind of interesting things. Does it cross over to the geopolitics we normally cover? Sometimes. And sometimes it's just interesting to learn about this stuff and stuff that you're not told. It's interesting. I interviewed a guy named Mondo Gonzalez. He goes out and he explores, is an archaeologist. He digs, he does the real work. He has found things from what we would call the mound builders, and things that contradict history. He took it to the National Archives, and they wouldn't even give him the time of day. But wait, I got the proof. We don't care. Yeah, that's the kind of thing we like to cover there. The Common Sense Show.tv. Sign up today. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show, freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really good to be with you. Thank you so much. Please share far and wide. Also, too, we also appreciate what some of you are doing, contributing to our Patreon account. That's much appreciated. We also appreciate you coming back here every single day. It's up to us to help Donald Trump get his agenda through. They have got off to a flying start, but to maintain this, they're going to need public support. So these leftist judges, these leftist Democrats, if they ever hope to get reelected, won't dare stand up to the overwhelming masses. Right now, they're being stupid. We need to show them in sheer numbers that they can't win. But it's going to take all of us, so please share far and wide. We have interesting sponsor. I need this device every single day. I have to have it. There's no two ways about it. But I also know if I'm not careful, I could die from this. So could you. So did John McCain. So did Ted Kennedy. So did millions of other Americans. This is like smoking in the 50s and 60s. Oh, yeah, we know it's bad for you, but keep on doing it. It's okay. And we know this is harmful for you, this EMF radiation. Okay, so there is a way around it. The great people at Body Align, ALIGN, the people at Body Align have come up with EMF defense, and it can block these EMF waves that could do you in, that could destroy your clarity of thinking, decrease your energy, lessen your vitality. This can all be reversed. You just put a little gold dot on the back of the phone, and it basically negates all the EMF coming out. All you got to do to find out more and to get yours is go to bodyaline.com/Dave Hodges. That's ALIGN, bodyaline.com/Dave Hodges. Will the real vaccine please stand up? And we think we've uncovered the mystery here at the Common Sense Show about some of the chicanery surrounding the vaccine, the confusing information, patents filed, hidden websites, destroyed evidence. It's all here. This would be a great novel, but no one would believe it. Okay, now let's go through the facts. I'm going to read to you some excerpts here from my website from previously conducted research. This goes back, gosh, six, seven, no, 7 years. There are at least two Ebola vaccines. And that predates the invention, excuse me, the patent for the CDC to control weaponized Ebola. Now, if you're not familiar with me using that term, you need to go back and review the previous segment because it's all right there with documentation. Vaccine number one, GSK. To say that this vaccine is being brought to the public a little too fast would be the same as saying that Mount St. Helens caused the earth to shake a little bit. GSK vaccine was finished start to finish in 5 short months. Gee, does that sound familiar? Anybody remember that term called COVID? Yeah. Normal medical protocols dictated this process should take 3 to 5 years. The vaccine is reckless and will endanger the public's health upon its rollout. But they have now hidden this. They've taken down all the websites. They've taken down all the evidence. Okay, now, the big one, though, the one I think they're really counting on unveiling. Vaccine number two from Crucell Laboratories. What you're not being told, fast facts from the Crucell website. Now, don't go look it up. They have destroyed it. Now, I was able to get it on the way back. And I captured it, and this is the capture. You can no longer get this. This is totally gone. But at one time, this was prominently displayed. All right, what you're not being told. Crucell is developing, at the time I wrote this, an Ebola vaccine in collaboration with the Vaccine Research Center of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Ooh, can you say Anthony Fauci? I'm sure he was part of this. He was there at the time. It's been shown to be completely protect monkeys against the virus with a single dose of the vaccine, so they claimed. Under the terms of the agreement with the VRC, Crucell has an option for exclusive worldwide commercialization rights to the Ebola vaccine. But the owners of the royalty will be who? The CDC. But there's a catch. There's a problem with the dates, and I'll get to that in a minute. Crucell's Ebola vaccine entered phase one clinical trials in the third quarter of 2006. Two groups of 16 volunteers. Well, hold on, time out. I'm an experienced person when it comes to research. I've written courses, I've taught it many years. Two groups of 16 volunteers is insufficient data. Your N number is certainly not large enough. And there's no evidence this was ever replicated, although it might have been and not made the record. I'll concede that. But is that good science? Can the public have trust in the NIAID, NIH? I don't think so. Okay, but let's move on from that objection. The study showed safety and immunogenicity of the doses evaluated. In October of 2008, Crucell secured an NIAID, NIH award to advance the development of Ebola and Marburg vaccines. And by the way, Marburg is the first cousin to Ebola. You're basically talking the same thing. With the ultimate aim of doing this, of developing a multivalent filovirus vaccine. In other words, one will treat both, all-cause vaccine, right? Not one word of this was reported in the mainstream media, and now it's being covered up. The above was a direct copy and paste from the Crucell website on September 17th, 2014. So we're talking 11 years ago now. In the same article that I published the following, I raised the question as to why the American public was not being informed of this development, in which the vaccine had been tested on humans as far back as 8 years prior to that. So I wrote this as a follow-up in 2022. Within 2 days of publishing the data from Crucell's laboratory, this is now what appeared on the same link. And I copied and pasted that, not found. And you can see this is a dead file. Okay. My dad used to say, the more you stir, you know what? The more it starts to stink. These words never rang truer than they do right now with this cover up. Let's look at the anatomy of the cover up. As most internet savvy people know, it's extremely difficult to cover up a web-based story once it's been printed and recirculated thanks to investigative tools such as the Wayback Machine. When the web page linking Crucell with the testing of Ebola on two sets of human volunteers in 2006 was published by yours truly, In 2014, the page was scrubbed after I exposed the existence. Why? Well, Crucell not only developed an Ebola vaccine that it tested, they've been caught in perpetrating a cover-up of their involvement in the development of the Ebola vaccine. And here's a snapshot of the Crucell URL Wayback Machine. You can click that link and you'll see it was saved 29 times between those dates, and now you can't get it. That's why I captured it. I knew this would happen. All right, so there we go. This is what I got from the Wayback, which is what you just read. Crucell's clinical trial results are missing. So the $64 million question is why Crucell engaged in the cover-up. Not only is Crucell guilty of trying to cover up the fact they tested the Ebola vaccine, there is yet another cover-up. The only research results that are available is what you see here is a copy and paste from the original Crucell laboratory website. There it is right there. And it says Crucell's vaccine entered phase one clinical trials, quarter three, 2006. And I've read this to you before. You get it. So it's basically just saying what I said. It said who funded it, USA MRID. And of course, the NIH, an infectious disease. You got the whole thing. We have all this. And fortunately, I was smart enough, lucky enough to have saved this. Okay, now this spells cover up. Now you're saying, what's the big deal? What are they hiding here, Dave? Okay, let me come back to you and talk to you as an adult. All right, I showed you in the previous segment the patent for weaponized Ebola. And the reason I call it weaponized is because to repeat the last segment, for you to be able to patent something in nature, you have to modify it by 30% or more. Well, the CDC did that, and I published the patent number and put all the relevant side information there for people to pursue. This is verifiable. And they did this in 2014. The effective date, well, back up. The effective date was 2010. They were prepared to go to market in 2014, but 2010. Okay, when did Crucell do their laboratory work? In 2006 to 2008, when they announced in 2008, voila, we've succeeded. We have the vaccine. We're not going to give you the data, but we're just telling you we have it. Okay, that's what we have. Well, this gets really interesting. Because see, the CDC would make money on everything associated with Ebola, weaponized Ebola. That includes the treatment of Ebola. Aha. Let's compare the dates. The CDC patent, 2010. Crucell Laboratories patent, or excuse me, research they say was completed, final date, 2008. You can't go back and claim royalty for something that predated your patent. Aha. Do you see why they scrubbed it? Now they're going to come out, I'm sure, with another vaccine that could be a repeat of Crucell if it's viable or semi-viable or appears to be viable. And they'll come out with a third vaccine that will now go past the date of the patent for weaponized Ebola, and the CDC will own the rights to that to use against the weaponized virus that they own the royalty to. This is the plot we've uncovered. I stand by this, and I'm telling you, folks, this is the way it is. The facts are there. There's no other conclusion. There is another pandemic coming. And they're going to have a vaccine in place. Didn't Bill Gates 2 years ago say COVID isn't the last one? We're going to have another one that'll kill 50 million people. Do you remember how people published that? I don't know why he spills the beans. This is a form of predictive programming. Is there some universal spiritual law that they must say what they're going to do to you before they do it? That's what some people think. I have no idea if that's true or not. I don't think proclaiming evil takes you off the hook. But nonetheless, why would Bill Gates say that if it wasn't coming? And then we add in the proof that I'm offering you here. Bad days are coming. And now we know the CDC is funding programs geared towards the youth to make them fearful of pandemics. What was the exception group that should not have received the COVID vaccines? And now most of the kids have heard it, I'm sure, from their teachers. We should never have closed the school. That was a bunch of crap. You people were never at risk. Well, that would be the young people. This is an attempt to collar them into, yeah, I'll roll up my sleeve. You don't need to make a law. I'll take your vaccine. I'm scared to death of Ebola. I think we're right on the money with this. I don't think I know. You need to understand this is coming, and Donald Trump needs to make this priority one. He needs to send his people in right now, take over the CDC, fire everybody. And I think this is more important than USAID. And establish his own people and cancel that patent. Let's take away the money-making opportunity here. Hey, join us on our newsletter, over 50,000 strong, get it every day. And what do they get? They get what we do the previous 24 hours. It's one-stop shopping. Don't have to go hunting. Don't have to come back multiple times. It's one time. The newsletter goes out late in the afternoon or early evening, depending on your time zone. All you got to do is go to thecommonsenseshow.com. Go to the upper right-hand corner, click on the newsletter link, and the only required field is your email. You want to put your name, that's fine. You don't have to, I don't care. But you will get your newsletter with over 50,000 other people the next day. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. We need to help President Trump. Let's get involved. Please share this far and wide. Talk to people, become obvious, political, sign recall petitions for leftist judges. Well, really, we need to go after the Rhino Republicans, but let's get involved. Trump needs another mandate from the public. We need to scare the hell out of elected officials who would oppose this pro-American agenda. Because they will be unelected, but we need to send the message loud and clear. Hey, we are brought to you by something really interesting and beneficial. A lot of you are very, very aware in terms of what I have done with Magic Dicol. These products were brought to me, two of the three that I actively use now. They were brought to me by a friend. It would actually be we're about 6 weeks short of a year. And they saved my life. These first three here, the nanosoma spray maintenance dose to boost your immune system to unbelievable levels, is five sprays once a day, but you can use it every hour in the hour. It's all natural. Now, this doesn't cure anything, but it boosts your immune system, makes you manufacture vitamin C and other, when we don't, our version of the mammal does not. And this puts your vitamin C levels at really good levels and boosts that immune system unbelievably high. I overcame RSV strep lung linings by using this product. I'd stopped all their medication. Right here is the topical gels. I got back into the gym trying to get in shape. You know, I always had bone on bone knee in the last 25 years, and I couldn't do some of the things I once did. Well, I'm back playing a little basketball, not a lot. I'm careful, connective tissue issues at my age, but I will tell you what I can do: squats, deadlifts, sled pushes. And you're saying, really? What about that bone on bone knee? Well, they in the product description, it creates pluripotent stem cells. And that's what I believe has really led to this. But the bottom line is, my knees don't swell anymore. They don't ache. I wish I could say that 25 years ago, I could have still been playing basketball and enjoying it. But nonetheless, these products are great. And then the last is what I call the vanity product. This vanity product will make you look and feel younger. All this at 15% off. This is the Magic Dicol starter pack. I highly recommend you get started. I won't rest until everyone is using the spray that boosts an immune system. Do I think it could increase national lifespan? If everybody used it, you're darn right it would. Increase your lifespan. Get started today. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. We have a real interesting story here for you that I want to bring to you. Like I said yesterday, I was going to go to the archives today to show that Ebola is a real and present threat. What I want to focus on here is the fact that Ebola is spread in ways that we've been told they can't spread. Ebola is airborne. Canadian researchers have shown it, but even official sources have been leaning in this direction for a year. Look at the date of this publication, October 3rd, 2014. And you're not hearing anything about this kind of stuff then to now, and that is how long? It's over 10 years. Okay, now let's look at this right here. United Nations spokesperson Anthony Banbury, Ebola response chief, said, "I want to tell people there could be a nightmare scenario that Ebola is possibly now and soon will be an airborne pathogen. This is precisely what I had reported several years ago. Ebola is indeed airborne. The Canadians have proven it, but let's go back through a little history, right? I want to show you the deceit because I'm convinced this is the kill shot. So we need to put it all out in front. The original CDC position on how Ebola is spread. The following was on the CDC website in early September of 2014, and this is the mantra that the mainstream media is still parroting. Okay, here's what the CDC said. The virus is spread through direct contact through broken skin or mucous membranes with blood and body fluids, urine, feces, saliva, vomit, and semen of a person who is sick with Ebola, or with objects like needles that have been contaminated with a virus. Ebola is not spread through the air or by water or in general by food. However, in Africa, Ebola is spread by the result of handling bush meat, wild animals hunted for food, and in contact with infected bats. Okay, that was the official position. This is the update. And this is from people that want to keep this from you, but they've been forced by the science to come and admit this. The present CDC position on how Ebola is spread. The following represents the present position at the time that I wrote this article in 2014, and then I'll bring you up to date even further. It said Ebola is killed with hospital-grade disinfectants such as household bleach. Ebola on dried on surfaces such as doorknobs and countertops can survive for several hours. However, virus and bodily fluids such as blood can survive up to several days at room temperature. Little different than the mainstream media is telling us, and this is directly from the CDC. If a symptomatic patient with Ebola coughs or sneezes on someone and saliva mucus comes into contact with a person's eyes, nose, or mouth, these fluids may transmit the disease. The CDC released a very hastily prepared advisory entitled Interim Guidance about Ebola Virus Infection for Airline Flight Crews, Cleaning Personnel, and Cargo Personnel. The smoking gun document reveals that the CDC is clearly concerned about likely airborne contamination of Ebola. The CDC urges airline staff to provide surgical masks to potential Ebola victims in order to reduce the number of droplets expelled into the air. And remember, when you're on an airplane, that's recirculated air. Everybody gets exposed. You don't have to be sitting next to the person. You just got to be on the plane. This is why I went nuts when we had our Ebola scare in 2014. And Ebola, let's put it this way, the Ebola areas then were mostly Africa. And Biden, excuse me, not Biden, but Obama did not shut down the planes coming into the United States from Africa. That was absolutely irresponsible and probably intentional. Okay, now, Dr. Yo Mobley, microbiologist and physician, stated in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, if these officials are not lying, they're grossly incompetent. He's a microbiologist and emergency trauma physician from Springfield, Missouri. Okay, Mobley said the CDC is sugarcoating the risk of the virus spreading in the United States. Okay, so you got there, you got doctors criticizing. Okay, now we got more. Dr. Lisa Brissot and Dr. Rachel Janes, in a research article published by SIDRAP, the Center for Disease, Infectious Disease Research and Policy, clearly stated that Ebola currently has unclear modes of transmission. We believe there is scientific and epidemiological evidence that Ebola virus has the potential to be transmitted via infectious aerosol products and particles, both near and at a distance from the infected patients. See, the DHS did a study later that Doug told me about, and what he said was really interesting. He said, "You know, Dave, I really think here that our studies show that a sneeze, 27 feet." I remember that figure. The CDC's contention that Ebola is only communicable via direct contact is inaccurate. Now, they've taken that back, but the mainstream media hasn't. And we need to expose this because as what's going on in Africa is going to get transmitted here by airline. That's a fact. And I hope that Donald Trump reacts to this in time. Okay, omnipresent threat of bioterrorism in American soil. I came to a different conclusion about on-the-ground transmission intentionally as an act of terrorism back in 2014. Today, I would say it's the cartels. Suicide, Ebola, bombsters is what we can call them. I believe we're going to see it cross the border like fentanyl. Boy, the results, as devastating as fentanyl's been, 300,000 deaths in the 4 years Biden was president, this is going to be much more dangerous if it gets into the system here. Okay, now, I exposed Obama, as you can see there in the headline that I'm displaying. Okay, I again exposed that the CDC owns the patent on weaponized. Okay, so this is where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. This is the bottom line. Okay, we'll try this again. Is it interesting? I guess if they can bring down a Black Hawk by remote control, they can do the same with my computer programming. They don't want this out. And I got to tell you, I'm the only one reporting this. I'm hypersensitive to it because of the fact that I have been involved with reporting on this now going back 11, 12 years. And I'm not claiming to be the guru expert of all time, but I think you can see through these various segments, I've got really good documentation. I've been on top of this for a long time. And I told you many times during the COVID outbreak, I said, this is the beta test. This is not the kill shot. How do you know, Dave? It's not deadly enough. And it doesn't transmit that easily. So you look at Ebola. What are the figures in Ebola? Well, that's quite simple. The figures in Ebola are this. You have about a little less than 50% chance of contracting if you're in the area because it's airborne, it can be on dried on surfaces. Once you get it, it's 90% fatal. Now, they tested compliance during COVID. Would people accept the businesses being shut down? Would they wear masks? Would they stay out of public places? Could you lock them down? Could you make them take mandatory vaccines? I mean, they did the whole nine yards. They tested every aspect of this. So what I come up with here at the end of the day is this. We have a real problem. And the real problem is this. They know most people are going to be scared into submission. They're going to roll up the sleeves. And if you think that the COVID vaccine was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. And then they'll have Ebola spreading through the population. This is what I think is possibly coming. And I think it'll be delivered by the cartels. I think that's the easiest way. Cartels and or terrorist interests that are in our country. I think there's no question about this. And this has been in the works for some time. And I don't think we can look at this and say we have nothing to worry about. Hey, check us out at thecommonsenseshow.tv for the very best investigative reporting. Love to bring you stuff that's interesting, like our hiding in plain sight, repressed technology, hidden history, and so forth that go with our geopolitics. and our expert interviews. Yeah, expert guests coming on, enlightening you and me on the geopolitics. Hey, sign up today, thecommonsenseshow.tv. We'll see you over there. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'd ask that you would share far and wide and also sign up for our TV show, thecommonsenseshow.tv. Got some new entries up there with regard to Doug and Dave Intel Report, looking into the topic of UFOs from the perspective of a researcher. It's pretty interesting. And I'm preparing more to come out soon. And we've actually interviewed Dr. Anna Mihacek, and she's talking about how the vaccines can be frequency tuned to control your mind. She's a great researcher, and I got to tell you, she makes a lot of sense. You can find that and more at thecommonsenseshow.tv, and it's the only place you can get those stories. Hey, we're brought to you by a product that can help you avoid some of the ravages physically of old age. Yeah, no one likes getting older. And what if you didn't have to get weaker and suffer what we call sarcopenia, which basically your skin just hangs off your bones because you've lost muscle tone? It's pretty scary. And almost everyone starts experiencing some degree of age-related muscle loss starting between ages 40 to 50. It's natural. It happens. In fact, most people lose almost 1% of their muscle mass each year after those ages I just mentioned. Health experts long believed age-related muscle loss is simply an inevitable aspect of getting older. Well, fortunately, Tony Horton came along, fitness guru for the stars, and he said, "That's not true." And he said, "We have plenty of examples." And by the way, this guy's trained people like the late Tom Petty, Stevie Nicks, Bruce Springsteen, and a bunch of other celebrity clients. And they keep going back to him because he knows what he's doing. And he said, "We have the answer to turn around sarcopenia." Want to find out more? Go to tonyprotein.com/Dave to watch this free video on this aspect that's absolutely revolutionary. That's tonyprotein.com/Dave, or just click the link in the description box if you're watching on social media. Now, the comments have been fantastic on this video, and some people say, "I've turned back the clock 10 and 20 years. I'm swimming again. My body feels good." These are just some examples of testimonial comments that we get. Go watch the video, play it back. Share it with your friends and loved ones because we can all benefit from this. Go to tonyprotein.com/Dave. Well, we're going to take a look at Ebola transmission rates. You know, and I know, and you know, and I know again that a pandemic is coming. Bill Gates has warned us, and every time he gives one of those warnings, something comes down the pike. And I believe because the CDC has financial motive to make it Ebola is what we're going to see. So people have asked me since I published a slew of Ebola-related information over the weekend, they want to know what the transmission rates are. Well, the good news for these people is I've already done that research. I did this research back in 2014. And updated a little bit for this report, but not much. It hasn't changed too much. I want to just explain to you how fast and how pervasive the spread can be. First of all, if you're in an environment, and I don't mean a closed quarters, I mean environment where Ebola is in your community, the research says you have about a 44% chance of contracting it. So it's highly contagious. We also covered previously, it's not just the sharing of bodily fluids. It's much more than that. Airborne, some substances, retain, and you can catch it on substances. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we documented it. We've done previous reports. You may want to go back to Saturday when we covered a lot of this, and it's fully documented. Scary. All right. What I want to do is we want to look at the RO rate, and that's the rate of spread for Ebola, and what the CDC calls it the progression of two. I'm going to go through and say I think this is an underestimate, but we'll use the CDC figures here, shall we? Okay, first generation of exposure of one Ebola patient equals two new Ebola patients. Second generation is four. Third is 16. Fourth is 256. And the fifth generation of exposure to 256 new Ebola patients is 65,536. The sixth generation, and this is red lettered, of exposure to 65,536 patients is, uh-oh, are you ready for this? 4,294,967,000. Let me say this again. 4,294,967,296 new Ebola patients. That's almost half the planet. That is half the planet. How long would it take? Okay, well, let's go through the life cycle of Ebola. And these, again, are CDC figures, and you know you can't trust them. So they're going to underestimate, they're going to fudge the figures. So whatever I'm giving you, it's probably far worse. All right, here's what we know. The virus incubates from 2 to 21 days, according to the CDC. The virus claims its victims in a range of 6 to 16 days after contraction. Taking the median measure of both variables, we can calculate that the average Ebola life cycle is around 20 days. The long side of the Ebola life cycle is 37 days. That's what I'm saying. I expect terrorist groups, the cartel, to sneak across the border, Ebola infected people, and they've got plenty of time to do a lot of damage. Okay, for our purposes of analysis, the Ebola lifestyle will be fixed at 30 days, which is an extremely conservative estimate. Now, scroll down here to what I found in 2014, and then updated in 2020, and the numbers hadn't changed very much. If we take CDC figures at their word that every Ebola patient infects two people, we know the mortality rate for the contraction of the virus at about 70%. By the way, I think it's 90%. I've found much research saying it's 90%, but the CDC is underinflating the number, as I told you they would, so we'll go with their 70%. Okay, now we can make some raw number projections. Using the power projections of two, the new figures are not as catastrophic as we saw in 2014, but they're still bad. 2.85 billion people are going to die worldwide, listen to this, within six Ebola generations or in about 6 months. So almost a third of the planet could die in 6 months from an Ebola outbreak. I mentioned this over the weekend. I really recommend that you go watch the series. I think it was 5 or 6 years long, called The Last Ship. You see so much of this stuff in here. And then they have the shedding of the vaccine. You take the vaccine, and now all you have to do is breathe on someone. Boy, was that predictive programming. All right, now, since the U.S. makes up a little less than 5% of the global population, this means that a global outbreak in 6 months, localized to America to calculate the death rate, we'd see 140 million Americans dying from Ebola. Subsequently, your odds of contracting Ebola based on these projections is 44%, with a survival rate of 30%. Okay, this exceeds what we saw with the Spanish flu. Now, is there a relationship between GDP, gross domestic product, as a predictor of Ebola's spreading rate called the RO? Okay, now, as a result of these questions, and remember, my background is psychology, but also, too, I did a lot with statin research. So, based on that, my skills and my academic abilities here, I went and formulated a hypothesis which postulated the economic base in GDP of a nation, and could it be correlated to the spreading rate of Ebola? I've done the research, and in all statistical honesty, the question is still somewhat open because the number of nations and their respective economies is still small. However, there is a trend curve that I discovered. What jumped out at me as a result of my investigation was that rural-based, low GDP economy has a much slower rate of transmission than does the industrial economy. This leads rise to the possibility that nations with large service economies, like ours, will spread the virus faster and the expected RO rate will be far higher than the CDC estimates in their one size fits all in their projection of a progression of two for every one to catch it. This is bad because if it's 140 million Americans, and I'm telling you here, my estimations say it's going to be far worse. I estimate over 200 million Americans would die within 6 months. This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. Some of what I've said found validation in the work of Dr. Christian Althaus, who used mathematic modeling to estimate the basic and effective reproduction of Ebola numbers in the 2014 outbreak in West Africa. The maximum likely estimates of RO are 2.53 for Sierra Leone. So, in other words, for every one person that catches it, 2.53 become infected by the one. It's down to 1.59 for Liberia. Okay. But Althaus did not make an obvious connection. Probably his funding sources said, don't touch this. The RO rate for Ebola is correlated with GDP. The differential rates between Sierra Leone and Liberia are not significant. Sierra Leone and has an RO Ebola rate 60% higher than Liberia, and its GDP, in my projection and my hypothesis, is the reason why. This is really, really crazy, people. There's an outbreak in Africa, as I've told you, in many locations now. How long will it be here? Air travel exacerbates this, but air travel is not common from the areas there. But here's the problem. Someone, let's say from Canada, goes to Kenya, where the outbreak is there. The 30-day incubation period comes into play. And they go from Canada to Africa to America. And we have a high spread rate because of our industrialization and our service economies. The people in the rural areas in this country won't be affected as much, but they will be affected. This is absolutely insane that we're not absolutely jumping to the forefront. Now, if it's not Ebola, people say, what will it be? Okay, well, there's Ebola elements in Marburg's disease. And as a result, I would expect Marburg to be the backup. Your RO rates are less. Your lethality is a little bit less, but the outcome is largely the same. Sign up for our newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com. Go to the upper right-hand corner, click on the link, and the only required field is your email. Put it in, and you will get everything we have done in the previous 24 hours in email form sent to your email box each and every day. People love it because it's one-stop shopping. I highly recommend you go to thecommonsenseshow.com and sign up today. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you back here again next time.